Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is June 21st, and I'll be damned if I know why I'm in a good mood. I'm so energized, and yet I got up in a couple hours ago. I was so damn tired.
Wait. So you're tired, but you're
energized.
I'm tired, but I'm
energized. I don't know why. Every time I come in here, it's like it energizes me, you know?
But I mean, that's good,
right?
That's
why I need this show. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't understand why after 7 hours of sleep, I'm still tired.
Seven hours of sleep is pretty decent.
Yeah, it is, right? Yeah. But that's what I'm telling you. My sleep is not, it's not like continuous.
I got like 5 hours last night.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You feeling better? I mean, do you feel awake?
Yeah, I feel fine. Okay. But I'm a morning person. I could literally rock out with 3 hours of sleep.
I know. I'm a morning person too. But you know, the thing is, when you get up in the morning, I'm feeling as tired as when I went
to
right
bed.
Before to bed.
Yeah,
right
I know.
Before I went to bed.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
I hate that groggy feeling right when you wake up. Yeah. You got to tell yourself, okay, now it's time. You really got to get up this
right.
time.
And then it's warm under the blanket and you go, what the heck? You know, I'm not getting up.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But I have to get up almost every morning. Sundays, sometimes I get to sleep in a little bit.
I usually never sleep in unless I'm hungover.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
No, if I get a chance to sleep a little bit, I will. There you go. So today you're back to normal. You were dressed to a T yesterday. So you went to meet an agent. How did that go?
It went really well.
Really?
Yeah, I actually signed with them, so...
Really?
Yeah, it was a two-hour meeting. So
yeah,
but it's per project. So it's not like if they don't book me on something, I don't have to
pay them and stuff.
Yeah, because it's a hefty amount. It's 20%. I don't know. Manager and agent fees were that high these days. I always thought it was 10.
No. They work hard, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, would I rather give up 20% or not have any work? I think I'll give up the 20%.
You will, huh?
Exactly.
Good. Good choice.
So it went really well. It was good. I was there for 2 hours and then I got home and I was like, I'm not doing anything for the rest of the day.
Yeah. Sort of like, yeah.
It's like I'm a morning person, but mid-afternoon, I'm tired.
I know.
I'm like,
too.
I'm done. Yeah.
But it's not like you do a lot any day.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I really don't.
So you're just celebrating not doing anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm relaxing.
Listen, you deserved rest. I mean, you went and signed a good deal, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, so. It'll be a good deal if they actually get me on one of the projects that they were pitching.
Exactly.
So.
Like work... I can't get rid of this cough. I'm going to go crazy.
Because you have to go to the doctors.
2 weeks. Yeah. Maybe I have bronchitis or something.
I get bronchitis twice a year. And you have
really?
But bronchitis, it's like you can't stop coughing.
Yeah, yeah. But it's been like 2 weeks.
Yeah. I mean,
it's crazy,
you could.
Because
when I get bronchitis, I have it for like 2 weeks.
Right. Yeah. So, but I'm not contagious. Nobody's sick around me.
Well, I mean, I got sick.
Excuse me. You were sick before.
No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't, Sam. And bronchitis is contagious without antibiotics.
Shut up. I'm not contagious and I don't have bronchitis.
No, I'm just fucking with you.
No, I know. But maybe I do need some antibiotics. I don't know.
Just get the Z-Pack. It's 5 days. You don't even drink anyway. So I just don't know what the side effects are. If you like
Z-Pack, what does that do?
It's an antibiotic. You only take it for 5 days.
Yeah, and where do you get it? From your doctor,
yeah.
Right? Okay. I don't want to go to the
doctor.
You go
to the corner. You go to the corner of friggin'.
Well, pharmacy.
Ventura. No, you have to get it from your doctor.
Okay, that's what I thought. So it doesn't matter what brand.
But I finished mine on Saturday and I still have a cough.
Yeah.
But I only have the cough now like right when I wake up and right before bed. It's really weird.
Yeah.
But I used to have asthma. So sometimes I think that I still have asthma. Like I have an asthma pump in my drawer next to my bed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if I exercise too heavy, I'll have an asthma attack.
Oh, wow. So don't exercise too heavily.
No, I don't, ever.
We don't want you to overexert yourself.
I don't.
In a few minutes, we're going to be joined by our guest today. We're on a roll now with guests and everything, and we're getting better ones every day. So that's very cool. And so get this. You know, on my car... like the previous one I had, it's a Mercedes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the emblem, the Mercedes logo, was illuminated. Like at night, you could see it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's with on lights. Like most new cars. Like BMW does that now too.
No, not on the emblem. I'm telling you, nobody does that.
No, they do. My friend has a BMW and it illuminates at nighttime. Right. Even when you open the car door, right. It'll say like BMW on the ground.
On the ground. That's not what I mean.
Yeah,
I have
in the car,
too.
But on the ground too.
No, I'm talking on the grill of the car.
I don't know. I'd have to see it. I'm really stupid when it comes to cars. So.
Okay, so. Like, okay, you know the front of the car.
Yeah, where you have the revert when it shows you what you're about to revert.
No, when you're looking from outside. You're looking outside of the car.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
yeah.
In the front of the car,
yeah.
There's a logo.
Okay.
Okay, it gets illuminated if you get that option.
Okay.
So in the last car I had it. Now when I traded it in, it doesn't have it. And I'm like going crazy because I got used to it. Now, it's a very unimportant, irrelevant
thing.
Right?
I would bring it back in and say, give me a car that has it because
okay,
I'm paying
so
more now.
Let me tell you what I did. I found one for $60, whereas Mercedes will charge you like $500 to $1,000 for this year.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And here you get, for $60, I'm going to have someone install it for me. And I got my illuminated star, you know.
See? You figured it out. What did you find it on, like Amazon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything is on Amazon.
Everything. You know?
Their prices are like not that like competitive anymore though.
Who says?
I do. When I was looking for stuff for my apartment, like kitchenware and like silverware, I was like,
yeah, well,
go
it
to
depends.
Walmart.
Those things, yeah. But if you get like books and stuff, books are
yeah,
like
I mean,
deeply discounted.
No one's going to Walmart to buy books.
Right.
I don't even know if they have books at one
point. Probably a couple of them, right? Yeah. I know. That's sad. You know, I mean, even the magazine section has shrunk so much, you know?
Yeah. People I don't know anyone that buys magazines.
Yeah.
I mean, we all look at them when we go like the dentist
that's
office.
That's true. And I used to buy them all the time, but not anymore, you know?
But you know what's kind of in now? Those coffee table books.
Yeah.
Yeah. They look so good too, but I don't think anyone ever opens them, but they look really good.
At your table.
On the coffee table. I want to get a couple. Those are pretty pricey, though. Like on Amazon, like one coffee
yeah,
table book is like $45.
Yeah, or more.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's fine paper. Yeah. Photos.
And
there.
They do like the glossy outside cover. Right. Like if you get one that says like Vogue on it, but it's not real Vogue, it's just a coffee table book, it's like almost $105.
Yeah, yeah. And photographers get quite a bit of money for their, mm-hmm. you know, for their pictures and
yeah.
stuff. So.
That nobody's even looking at.
Well, it depends, you know.
My friend, like every single one of my girlfriends has coffee table books and I've never ever picked one up
and opened
it.
Look at them, huh?
No, because usually they have like the coffee table books and then they'll put like a candle or like a flower on top of
right.
it. So it's like, I can't move that. I'm not going to touch that.
Yeah. Plus, when you go over to a friend, you don't sit there to read, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Unless they're boring, then you shouldn't be friends with them.
So, any plans for the weekend before we get to our guest?
No.
No? You're not going to go anywhere?
You know what? I need to figure out. So, I have like a couple of friends that do, they like buy houses and they flip them. And they have a bunch of furniture in like a warehouse. And my apartment's empty.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey.
Yeah.
Hi, buddy.
Take some of your furniture.
I'll let you take me to dinner if I can steal half your furniture.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to go look at furniture today by one of the guys. And then hopefully this weekend I can look at the other furniture. I just literally want to get my apartment back to looking fresh and
right.
sexy. Because right now I'm just miserable.
Oh.
Yeah. It just doesn't look good.
Did you find a roommate yet? Has he moved in?
July 1st.
Oh, July 1st, mm-hmm. Okay.
But I did find a roommate, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, I'm telling my furniture, but my son's cat is in a quest to destroy all of it.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Why? So, is it, like, clawing?
Yeah. And he put, like, those things on its nails, you know, and on its claws.
Yeah.
And maybe they fell off. I don't know what's going on.
I mean, cats will always,
like this,
yeah.
You know,
you need to get them one of those scratch, the little things they nap on / scratch.
Yeah.
Because it's the only way they'll stop.
Oh, come on. That doesn't matter. He goes on there. He looks at me and he does that.
Yeah,
you know?
They do it on purpose.
Yeah, and only a couple times, but it's enough to destroy the leather couches.
Cats are really
you know?
Cute when they're kittens. I can't deal.
Yeah,
I'm a dog
on,
girl.
Animals, man. I mean, we got hair all over the place. Last night, people brought a dog here. Okay, two dogs, Pomeranians. You know how much hair they left on the table? And I think I gave them the lint roller. Mm-hmm. I said, here you go. Before you go home. I go crazy with animal hair.
See, dog hair doesn't bother me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What if it sticks on your clothes? It's disgusting.
So I always have a lint roller in my car, so I'm good.
Yeah.
But if, right. if I took an Uber, then I'm screwed.
Yeah, I don't know. But at any rate, so like I said, I like animals a lot when there are other people.
Right.
You know, when it comes to me, I don't want to live with them.
How do I lose weight?
How freaking random is that?
Because I was just thinking about how sugary this coffee is and how I regret drinking it.
Okay, so you just answer your question. You don't drink those coffees, you can lose weight.
Yeah, but everyone's like, give up pasta, give up rice. I don't think I could emotionally or physically do that.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, I think the secret is you can eat anything, just eat in moderation. Don't overeat, you know.
Like eat like half a cup.
Whatever, or don't eat too many times during the day, you know. Yeah. I mean, I eat twice and that's it, you know.
I can't believe you only eat twice a day. That's
yeah,
insanity.
That's enough. That's
you
enough.
Don't snack?
Well, maybe sometimes I'll have something, but mostly no.
Wow.
No, just coffee or something maybe there.
I mean, coffee can be filling, so I feel that.
Yeah, yeah. All right, folks, we're going to get to our guest right now. We're going to bring her on. She's sitting here patiently and politely, which we appreciate. We're joined by Laurel Ann Hill. Welcome to the show, Laurel.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. Hopefully we get you warmed up and going so we can discuss your book and your career and everything. So welcome to the show.
Okay. And I was thinking I'd get to talk about shedding dogs and losing weight.
Go ahead. You want to talk about shedding dogs? Go ahead.
You haven't had a shedding dog until you've had a German Shepherd Samoyed mix.
Really?
What does that look like?
White, lots of hair.
Like almost like husky type of hair?
Yeah, yeah. And essentially when I owned this doggy, I couldn't buy clothes unless I was pretty sure the hair wasn't going to stick. I used to bring a handful of hair in my pocket to the department store and throw them at the clothes.
Oh,
and
my God.
And if it didn't stick, I'd buy the dress.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure they loved you there.
That is the most bizarre story I've ever heard.
I know. Throw hair in the clothes in the store. Wow.
No, actually, I follow this page on Instagram. It's like Newfoundlands, and I think those might be the worst dogs to shed. They're so cute, but like anyone who has a Newfoundland on Instagram, it's like every single day they show their floor, and it's just like clumps of hair. But they're so cute, it's worth it.
Are there any clothes where hair doesn't stick?
There are.
Like latex?
There Even are that. Some, but I couldn't tell you what they were because I didn't look at the label. I didn't care. If it didn't stick, I bought it.
You bought it, wow.
Forget the price.
Yeah. So, but at least the hair bothered you or you were aware of it, conscious of it, where some people are not, you know?
They're they go out with like full-blown doggy hair.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I see people like that all the time, and I'm like, come on, man.
Yep.
So anyway, have you had dogs most of your life or?
In my adult life, yes.
In your adult life.
I grew up in San Francisco and we rented.
Uh-huh.
And so landlord.
You rented dogs?
We rented apartments and flats.
She rented an apartment. They probably didn't allow dogs.
I was like, is that a business?
They did not allow dogs or cats.
See why I love Danny, man? She's sometimes in another planet, you know?
We could have guppies, goldfish, turtles.
What's a guppy, a goldfish?
No, it's this disgusting little tiny fish that's much smaller than a goldfish. Right. And sometimes they jump out of the water.
Oh, no.
Really?
I'm not into fish at all.
But they were an allowed pet, and everybody had guppies. So
you had them, too.
I had guppies.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sounds good. Yeah. So you're from San Francisco too, right?
Yeah, we just had someone yesterday from San Francisco.
Yeah, I guess Desiree took a trip up there and collected a few.
I guess San Francisco, everyone wants to be a writer, huh?
Well, I don't live there now, but I spent the first 27 years of my life in San Francisco.
I mean, that's a pretty long time.
I was born there.
So you were born there.
Yes.
What part of San Francisco?
I was born at St. Luke's Hospital, the old St. Luke's.
Uh-huh.
And
I don't know what that is.
Me neither.
But
it's down in the Mission District.
Oh, okay.
And I grew up on 14th Street between Noe and Sanchez.
Okay.
A couple blocks from the beginning of Fillmore Street.
Okay.
The market.
All right.
No clue.
I know.
But I've never been
there. I thought maybe
like
she'd mention a place where I heard, but, you know, like Daly City and Foster City.
I don't even know what that is.
It's all like suburbs of San Francisco, right?
Gotcha.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's where my son went to school. So, but I probably won't be in San Francisco now for a while because he's back, you know?
I mean, at least you got it out of your system.
To go? Yeah.
Yeah.
But you need to go, right? You haven't been?
Yeah, but I don't care.
You don't care about it? It's beautiful, though.
There's so many other places I'd rather go. San Diego, Santa Barbara.
I know, but those are
I'd
closer,
rather drive all the way to Mexico.
But let me tell you something. Take the drive up the coast on Pacific Coast Highway. And it's such a scenic drive. People come from all over the world to just drive it. So you drive it up. You go past Santa Barbara, Monterey, all these places.
Have you seen San Andreas?
No.
With The Rock?
Oh, the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that scares you.
San Francisco was the first place to go down. I'm good. It would be my luck that I'm on the bridge and something happens.
Yeah.
I'm so good.
Well, nobody knows where it's going to be, my dear. It could be here. You might as well
move away. Sorry, we're all over the place.
Yeah, move away from California with all the earthquakes and stuff.
Well, that's all right. I used to work for a pharmaceutical research and development site in environmental health and safety, and I was in charge of our earthquake response team.
Oh, really?
Because the site that our company was located was about 2,200 to 2,500 feet away from the northern section of the Hayward Fault. And so we had to be prepared.
Yeah. Did you ever experience an earthquake?
Oh, I've experienced lots of earthquakes.
Really?
Yes.
Like bad ones?
Yes. The one in 1957, I happened to be at school. I was in junior high school then, as it was called. It wasn't called middle school.
Okay, yeah.
And I was up on the third floor of Everett Junior High School, and the halls just started going back and forth, and I was literally slammed against the lockers from one side of the hall to the other, and I clung to the lockers so that I wouldn't be slammed back to the other side.
That's pretty powerful.
Yeah, it was scary.
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do if that happens? Like, I know you're supposed to, quote unquote, get under the table, but what is that really going to do?
There's not a damn thing you can do. Just run outside if you can. You know?
Our Father,
why would you want to be outside?
In heaven.
Oh, my God. That was morbid as hell. Whoa. Good morning.
Oh. It depends, yeah, you know. But that's a pretty powerful earthquake. I've never been to one like that before.
And then in Loma Prieta, 1989, I just missed being on the bridge. Normally, I would have been on the bridge at that time, but I had left a little bit early because of the baseball game that had been scheduled.
Yeah,
this is in California?
Yes, in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Yeah.
Well, that's the one that
did the bridge go down?
That was the one where the part of the bridge was damaged.
Yeah, yeah.
Went down. Yeah.
That's why I don't
know. And I just got it. I got across it before it went.
Yeah.
Wow.
You see, and that's very ironic because something similar happened to me when we had the 1994 earthquake here, right? In Northridge. It was a Northridge earthquake.
Right.
And it was pretty powerful. I had moved my family to Vegas a week before that. And if I hadn't, let's say they were still here, I was making trips from Vegas to L.A. every weekend to see them for a while, my wife and my kids, right? That morning, I would have, if I'd stayed, I would have been on that bridge around that time.
Did that bridge go down too?
Yeah. A cop, like, died there, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, like over the 14 freeway. And I thought, wow, you know, that was a close one, you know? So that kind of reminds me.
I don't
of
like
this.
Bridges.
Yeah. For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Laurel Ann Hill. She's a writer, author. You brought us a great book, and we'll talk all about it. How did you get into writing, and when?
I started writing before I could read, literally.
Really?
I would make up stories, and I would tell them to my older sister, and she would write them down. And I decorate them with pictures from magazines and comic books.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Very cool. I used to do comics, too, when I was a kid, you know, because I was reading comics and I had to do, like, my own. I guess a lot of kids do that, but that's very interesting. So at a young age, you decided you like to tell stories.
And I had my first story, put that story in quotes,
right,
when I was 11 years old it was published.
Whoa.
And it was a very short story. It was absolutely horrid. It was called Nancy Saves the Day.
Well, hey, you know, what do you expect a kid to write?
But I got a whole $2 for it. Wow. From the newspaper.
Uh-huh.
And back then, $2 went a long way.
Right.
You could buy 8 of the most humongous ice cream cones you could ever believe existed.
Yeah,
for
$2.
Did you? That's crazy.
Did you buy all 8?
No, I bought something else.
Wow, can you imagine $2? When I have $2 now, I'm like, oh, times are tough. Times are not going well.
Oh, I was rich. $2. Woo.
Yeah. But that's cool. But then, so you grew up reading, probably, right?
Actually, I had a hard time reading, and I didn't get the hang of reading well until I was in the second grade. Mm. And I'd be so embarrassed because I wouldn't know the meanings of words. I couldn't tell what was the difference between Shirley spelled one way and Shirley spelled another way. And I felt so stupid. And then I started reading well and just took off. And when my daughter went through the same thing when she was in the second grade or first or second grade, she was so worried that she was so stupid. And I said, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the same thing happened to me, you'll be fine.
Wow.
Right, right.
What a terrible thing to go through, though, as a kid, you know? I mean, to feel stupid, that's the worst thing you can do. Wow. So, so did you have, like, a learning disorder or something?
Because second grade, how old are you?
Oh,
like
if you
seven,
go back,
right?
Yeah, about 7.
Yeah, because my sister's kid is 4, and he's starting to read.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he'll
yeah.
skip a bunch of words, but he's, like, getting it. Like, he knows it when a dog, it says dog, you know,
right.
Like, small words.
Well, right. my sister, my older sister, was really brilliant, and, of course, being the first child, mm-hmm. it was like being an only child for 4 years. So she could read before she went to school, before she even went to kindergarten, and she could read well enough that she would be reading to the class.
Really?
Wow.
Very interesting.
So then I really felt stupid.
I can't remember if I was like ever stupid or not.
What the hell kind of a thing is that?
Like, I literally can't remember. I can't remember class at all. I can't remember when I started to. I know I struggled with cursive. Like, everyone in the class got it, and I just couldn't get it.
Yeah.
That I do remember.
But that's okay. It doesn't come from stupid. I don't understand why you would call it stupid, you know?
No, I'm just saying I can't remember when I started reading or writing.
Right, right.
I don't remember really much from my childhood. It's weird. It's like, once you get older, it's like all that stuff just like...
Maybe you blocked it all.
Yeah.
And then I got to high school, and I grew up poor, and my father was an alcoholic, and I didn't know how I'd have money to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
I had the grades. I had straight A's.
What about your mom?
And, she'd never gone to real college. She'd gone to business college during the Depression for 6 months and gotten a job.
Really? But that's pretty admirable. At the time then, people were not going to college.
Yeah, and so anyway, I wanted to go, and my mentors, the teachers I had in high school, encouraged me to enter essay contests through the school, you know, through the San Francisco school system, which I did. And I literally earned enough money to pay for 4 years of tuition and books at San Francisco State.
Are you serious?
That's serious.
Crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. So I figure no matter what happens after that, if I ever made any money or not from writing, I had gotten the money I needed.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would just write for the love of it and not worry about money.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
That's awesome.
My son just graduated San Francisco State. What are they called, the teams? What is the mascot there?
Oh, I think it was the Gators.
The Gators, that's right. I totally forgot. I don't know where I was, but yeah, the Gators it is.
Thanks for that, Sam.
whatever, just to try to add some color to the conversation to show what an idiot I am that I don't remember things like that.
And I really remember my high school mascot, the parrot, because I went to Polytechnic High, which was closed in 1972.
Why?
And, well, they'd had some trouble.
Oh, I thought it was going to be something, some scandal. I was hoping it was a scandal or something.
No, it was sad what happened because the school did not deserve to be torn down. It was in better shape than a couple of the schools that were not torn down.
Yeah.
And it was closed at that point because they had a low population of students. It was, by that point, very much with people of color.
Right.
I mean, we'd always had a mixture.
Right.
So that it was a very cosmopolitan school, but it was oriented toward the trades rather than scholarship.
Right.
But I learned so much at that school.
Yeah.
And it gave me what I needed to go on to college.
Very
cool. It was not a college prep.
Yeah.
But it gave me what I needed to go on with life.
Right.
And I still belong to the Alumni Association for a school that was torn down in 1987.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Closed in 1972. It was right across from Kezar Stadium.
Okay. So now, so now we know that you were interested in writing early on and stuff, but when did you start taking it on as a professional path for you?
Well, of course, I was doing this in my professions, which included medical laboratory to environmental health and safety and all the many different aspects.
Right.
Of science that I was employed in. It was really in my early 50s that I started writing as an adult. I had a terrible illness. The doctors did not know what was wrong with me.
Oh my God.
I've guessed it since then, but they didn't know, and I had nonstop muscle spasms, which are cramps in my back muscles, that went on for 6 weeks.
Oh, my God. Like nonstop?
Nonstop.
Can you imagine? That would be terrible.
I get like a spasm after the gym, and I can barely take it.
Right.
Yeah.
Anything that persists, like that you have to be conscious of, is terrible.
So
you
did
know?
They eventually
like
figure out?
No, but it eventually went away by itself, and they kept me medicated so that I could stand it, but it really never stopped hurting.
Right. Yeah.
And I was, of course, very depressed, as you would be. It's never going to end. I'll be like this for the rest of my life. Well, eventually it did. And even though I had minor relapses, I get along all right.
Right.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. So, well, let's get to your book now. Is this the first book that you published, or have you published books before?
Well, this is the second novel.
Okay.
And I've had about 30 to 32 short stories published, and maybe a dozen short pieces of nonfiction.
That's a lot of books.
Yeah. Now, short stories. Where are they featured? Like, there's collections of stories and books and stuff like that. Where can people read it?
They're mostly in anthologies, where I have one story in an anthology.
Okay.
And the anthologies can be found by going to my website or my Amazon page, and that's laurelannhill.com.
Okay. Yeah, and you got quite a full website. You got a lot of things here, so people should check it out. Laurelannhill.com, and you can see a lot more. But so your first novel, what was that about?
Heroes Arise. It was about an alien on another planet, and he was 8 feet tall, had four arms, sort of lizard-like skin. His head scales did photosynthesis like a plant, so he could survive on not having a lot of food,
right?
Because he lived in a desert. And it was his story of revenge and redemption.
Yeah. Now, is this taking place on Earth or another planet?
Another planet in a country by the name of Thard.
Oh, wow.
And he has a human for a sidekick. So he's 8 foot tall, and his sidekick is about 5 feet tall.
Wow. How did the human get to that planet?
I don't go into that. They arose there. They were the inhabitant, and it was the humans that got to the planet.
Oh, geez. Where did you get that story?
Do you dream about it?
That one did not come from a dream. A character started talking in my head.
Really?
Yeah, you have to remember, it's all right for an author to hear voices in the head. That's fine. If you're not an author and you hear voices in the head, you really need to go to a psychiatrist. Yeah. But if you're an author, that's what you want.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So this sort of came to you. Had you been a science fiction reader before that?
Yes.
So you like science fiction?
Yes. And the stories that I used to write as a small child were oriented toward fantasy.
Yeah. Very interesting. You see, Desiree, yesterday we had someone who's focusing more on her own earthly experience. And here you're able to build a world in your book of something that nobody's ever seen before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and in my current novel, The Engine Woman's Light, Kirkus not only gave me the Kirkus star, they compared the way that I did my world building with Ursula Le Guin.
Really?
Yes. And
is that someone famous? I don't know.
I mean,
extremely famous. Extremely
wow,
famous.
Very nice
she
comparison.
Just passed away recently.
Well, that's good. Then you're in the league with good people.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just blown away, totally blown away that an organization with the prestige of Kirkus would not only give me a star, the best books rating for 2017, in two categories, one in young adult and one just in their indie books.
Right.
But say that my world building reminded them of Ursula K. Le Guin. It was just, woo!
Wow, very nice. So this is a young reader's book. That's who the intended audience is.
I would say mature teen.
Okay.
Or adult.
Right. So how do you decide that when you're about to write? I mean, when would you decide, you know what, I'll write this for young people rather than older people?
I never thought of it as a young person's book.
Really?
They just categorized that for you?
Yeah, because I thought that there were parts of it that were too dark. And 20 years ago when I started writing that book. 20 effing years.
I thought 6 years. She said yesterday it took her 6 years. I thought that was a long time.
Well, that's a long gestation period, right?
Yeah. My first book took me 7 months to write.
Really?
Yeah, 7 months.
Yeah.
But
this one, you had the idea for a long time.
I had the idea. And it took me a long time to figure out how to make it work. When I started writing The Engine Woman's Light, I didn't know how to write a novel.
Really?
I was still learning how to write a short story.
Right. Now, how did you learn? What was the process?
A slow, agonizing trial and error.
Really? Very interesting. You didn't like take classes or read books about writing novels?
Books about writing novels were expensive, and I turned through them, and it didn't feel like it was really telling me anything.
Right.
It was just trial and error, letting people look at it.
Right.
Who knew what they were doing.
Right.
And tell me what I was doing wrong. And you have to remember that a while back, you wouldn't just get a refusal notice from many editors.
Yeah.
Especially in the science fiction fantasy field.
Right.
Yeah.
You'd get letters. I got a 2-page letter handwritten from an editor, if you can imagine that.
Yeah.
Saying why they wouldn't work with you?
No, saying what I had to do to make this story work.
Wow. So he or she took it their time to do it.
Yes, I had a number of editors do that.
Yeah.
And so I started thinking, wow. And then I didn't even know that they had things called writing groups. I didn't know they existed. There was no Google. There was no computer.
Right, right. It's so different now. Yeah.
Yeah. So I found that out, and I joined one, and it took going through a few different groups till I found one that really, really worked for me.
Right, yeah, right. Very nice. So you get like a support support group for writing and stuff. Awesome. So the book, The Engine Woman's Light, let's talk a little bit about that. Tell us, so this story, where does that take place?
In an alternate 19th century California.
Really?
And I
an
laugh,
alternate California.
Alternate, yes.
Yeah.
And I laugh because right now there's that move to divide California into three sections.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In my book, California has been in two sections.
Really?
And the northern part is owned by the United States and the southern part is owned by Great Britain.
Right.
And you have to remember, if you've taken California history, if you go back and look at that period of the mid-1800s, the British were interested in California.
Right.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
As well as the Yankees, the Americans.
But it makes more sense that the Mexicans would take Southern California, right?
Well,
it's closer to their border.
Well, you have to remember back then, a lot of what is now U.S. territory was Mexican. And it hadn't been that long, maybe 30 years, since they had acquired their independence from Spain.
Okay.
And so they did not have a state-of-the-art armed services.
Yeah,
their military was very primitive in comparison. One side would have guns and the other side would have lances, so to speak.
Right.
What's lances?
Oh, those long tip things.
Oh, God.
Long. And they would have guns, too, but they would... They had a cavalry of lancers, which were, you know, could really do their job. They were pretty scary.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I feel like all of that is scary.
It's primitive, though. Yeah, yeah. Very interesting. So so it takes place in alternate California. What period again did you say?
Well, the story is mostly taking place in the 1890s.
Okay.
But it's an alternate and more dystopic. Really,
yeah.
California, and it has some of the problems that we are experiencing today.
Really,
it has the abuse of power. It has the sexual abuse.
Uh-huh.
It has the thrown away people. It has really the status of women is less than desirable in many areas.
Yeah. Very interesting. So you tackled a lot of these. Now, was that conscious or was that just part of the story?
That was part of the story. What it really started out from, it came from the dream, this one, of an old woman who is on a train being taken to the old folks' home.
Okay.
And if you know your California history or even the United States history, you'll know that people who were ill and didn't have money that or were not right in the head, they were tossed into asylums. And so
really?
She is on her way to an asylum because she has leprosy.
Oh,
and leprosy was a disease that we saw at that time.
Jeez. Does anyone even have leprosy anymore?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, but they know now how to cure it. And they also know that it is not as contagious as people feared.
Yeah.
Well, it was like a plague back in the day, wasn't it? Like people considered that a plague almost?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were ostracized, thrown out of the communities, sent
now
somewhere
I'm curious.
Else.
I'm just going to Google a picture because I'm like, what does it look like?
It is a horribly disfiguring disease.
Right.
Of like the body?
Right. Yes.
How do you spell that?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Leper.
Kind of.
Just spell
L-E-P-E-R.
Leper. L-E-P-E-R.
Yeah.
So anyway, where was I?
With the leprosy.
Oh, yes, with the leprosy. Oh. So anyway, she is given charge of a baby who has been abandoned.
Right.
And is also being sent to the asylum because nobody wants the baby.
Really?
Given up, deserted by the parents.
Right.
So she says she'll do it, and it's been medicated, so it's not crying very much.
Mm-hmm.
And so she realizes it when the apparition of her late husband appears to her and says, this is our great grandchild.
Really?
And so...
And this is like he's dead, right?
He's dead, but she sees, she'd been seeing his apparition now for months at certain times. No one else can see, but she can see and she can hear him speak.
Uh-huh.
And she knows she has to get this kid off of this train.
Yeah.
She would willingly go just to be, keep her own family safe so they wouldn't get leprosy, because it was still thought of that it was really, really contagious.
Yeah, I just looked up pictures. It's actually horrifying.
Yeah.
Really?
And, and so, but she was not going to let that happen to this child. And so the first chapter of my book, which is almost a prologue, but I didn't want to label it a prologue because people don't read prologues.
Really?
And they have to read this story.
Yeah, yeah.
And this was the short story I started out with that didn't work. It was too big of an idea for a short story.
Right.
Uh-huh. And so she... It's how she gets the baby to safety, and the chapter two starts with the baby grown to almost age 16. Her name is Juanita, and she has been adopted, so to speak, fostered by a spiritualistic community.
Yeah,
and she is being trained to be the next mystic.
Really?
For their society.
Jeez.
And it starts there.
So you created the different world.
Yes.
From your head, from inside your head.
Well, the characters started talking and they helped.
Really?
Yeah, they
like, where'd you get the name Juanita?
Yeah, you see, if she didn't write a book, we'd think she's crazy. But it was productive to hear the voices. So what the heck?
Was she black? Is the character black?
She's Mexican, and Mexican can be a mixture of Black, Native American, and Spanish.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and it all depends. And so they, the artist who did the cover gave the, took the description I gave them and created Juanita.
Okay.
Her skin may be a little darker in the cover than I envisioned it, but it tells everything.
Right. Have you
seen
the book?
Let me see
There's
it.
The
yeah.
book. You can see.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But it was conveyed in the cover, I think.
Yeah.
So she's the Mexican mixture. And by the way, my father was half Mexican.
Really? So so this is like parts of you also.
Yes.
And you mix this with like ideas from some voices in your head. And it turned out to be a great story.
And my great-grandmother's papers are in the California Historical Society. And I had them translated from Spanish to English.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And after I was done, I felt so close to great-grandma Hippolyta Orendain de Medina. That's
a long name.
Yeah, and that I went and had to finish this book. I had set it aside for several years because it just wasn't working right. And I thought, oh my gosh, I have to tell this story.
Right.
Because my great-grandmother, when she was a teen, she went out and shamed Mexican expatriates in California so they would go and go down to Mexico and throw out the French.
Yeah.
She got them to a troop of them to go home to their country and fight for Mexico.
Wow.
While my great-grandmother had donated money to help finance.
Right.
I don't know if it's a battalion or I'm not familiar with all the military names for each group of soldiers and their size, so to speak. But she helped finance to send them down there.
Yeah.
And so she was very politically active. And of course, my great grandfather almost started another war with the United States single-handedly in 1886.
Right.
I mean, this went all the way to President Cleveland.
Yeah.
You know, there were armies massed at the borders. You know?
Right.
I mean, this was
wow.
Great-grandpa getting into trouble.
President Cleveland, is it from the United States?
Yes. Yeah, great-grandpa.
That's how much I remember from history class.
Yeah.
What a waste of money. I know like four presidents. I was like, wait, President of the United States? I don't remember that name. Because we used to have to take tests where you had to know every single president.
Yeah.
And like what year.
That name does not ring a bell. Yeah,
nobody remembers.
No.
Yeah. So, Laurel, tell people how they can find out more about you, about the book. It sounds fascinating. I'm going to ask Desiree. Desiree, get on the microphone for a second. You wrote here, this is a steampunk meets mysticism page turner. What's steampunk?
Okay.
No, I wanted Desiree to tell
me. Hey, go for it.
Because she wrote it.
Well, I know this is radio, but Laurel's hat is a fine example of steampunk as fashion. So steampunk is fashion. It's a theme. Wow, it's a lifestyle. It's basically Victorian meets gadgets. You're going to have to help me out here, Laurel, to maybe explain it. But it's goggles and it's Victorian lace mixed with metals and gadgetry and
So this is like, I mean, this never existed, right? It's something made up.
It's fanciful in the sense that it's kind of like the old and the new mashed up. And no, this world didn't exist. Victorian era existed, and cowboys existed, and pirates existed, and goggles existed, and aviation. So it's kind of a merger of all of those.
Yeah, you put it all together.
Yeah.
And you have to remember that steampunk technology does not include electricity or nuclear or the really modern types of tech that we have today.
Right.
You can look at steampunk technology and see how it works.
Right.
Steam.
Right.
Clockwork.
Right.
Maybe crystal.
Is that like a Mad Max type of a thing? Because that's pretty much what they had. Like, I mean, this hat reminds me of that, the goggles.
No? Well, yeah, this kind of reminds me of something that would be like in Jeepers Creepers.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Wow, it definitely opens up a lot of imagination here. But we are almost out of time, Laurel. Tell people, so the book is The Engine Woman's Light.
Yes, and it's available on Amazon. You can go to Barnes & Noble. If you like buying from a regular bookstore, this is distributed by Ingram.
Okay.
So you can go to any bookstore and have them order it.
Very nice.
And
but if it's on Amazon, you don't have to. You just order
just
it online.
Just literally go to Amazon.
Exactly.
Get it in 2 days. Yeah.
Don't go to the bookstore and have them start ordering it. You remember when they used to do special orders for books? You'd have to wait.
And one thing I want to mention, it has won 10 honors and awards.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Congratulations to you. That must feel great, huh?
To
get all that recognition.
Yes. And because when I wrote this book, I literally had to learn how to run a steam locomotive. So you are looking at a gal who knows how and has run a 15-foot-tall steam locomotive.
Wow. So, yeah, I mean, that's amazing to me, you know, that you actually invested all that time and effort in understanding what you're writing about. And then people recognize that, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't want to come across as someone who doesn't know how a steam engine runs if you're writing about it, right?
That would definitely be me, probably.
Cool. And people can go to your website, right? What's the website again?
LaurelAnnHill.com. That's LaurelAnnHill.com.
Sounds good. And get the book, find out about Juanita's adventure and everything. Sounds fascinating to me, you know. And Desiree, you know how to pick them, huh?
I do. Yeah, amazing.
So if people want to use your services, tell us quickly what you do, Desiree.
Sure. It's Black Chateau Enterprises. I do PR and marketing for books and authors and personality brands. And it's easy. BlackChateauEnterprises.com or just Google Black Chateau on social media, too.
And that's Desiree Duffy. Mm-hmm. And she's based in L.A. And obviously, Laurel felt that she's good enough.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yeah, we met over dinner at that last Western Writers Conference.
Which is coming up this weekend, too. And Laurel is going to be on a panel about the heroine's journey that's happening at Valley College. That's the West Coast Writers Conference, WCWriters.com. If any writers are out there, aspiring authors, screenwriters, too, this is the type of convention that you can go to and meet people like Laurel, see panels, learn about writing as a craft, and meet industry people, too.
Very cool. Yeah. And if people follow you on social media, you always post about all these
events.
I'm
always posting about the events and things. So that's the best way. Yeah.
There you go. You see Sophia, a writer, or anything even remotely that Desiree is your friend, don't hesitate. Find her. And Laurel, thank you so much for joining us.
And thank you so much for inviting me.
Of course. You're an amazing guest and fascinating, and we really wish you continued success. Is there going to be any sequels to that or anything, or a different kind of story?
I'm working on another novel, but it is not a sequel. It is a new story. Well, not so new. I started a long time ago, but that's part of my,
but
my
it's
MO.
Different from this one.
Yes, of a Latina girl in 1846.
Yeah.
So
wow.
In California.
That's amazing. You see, when you write about a period or a place that you haven't been,
right,
it's a lot harder.
Yeah, for
you
sure.
You have to learn about it. Very interesting. All right. Well, ladies, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Danny.
Looking forward to having you back on the show. You can come back anytime. And Desiree has an open invitation, so we don't have to. Danny, thank you for joining and adding color to the show.
You're welcome.
And thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll see you all tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.